We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A Radio.com sports station.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Ryan Horvath, filling in for Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Make it up, Chuck and Winkler, 414-799-1250. Give us a call, tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and check us out on the radio.com app as well. Eric Edholm, going to join the show at 7:30 from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk some Packer football, as you just heard in that update from our producer, Nick Bodie. Aaron Rodgers expected to play a full first quarter, along with the first team offense. We were going to talk a lot of Packer football, but then last night happened. Brewers lose 7-5. Josh Hader blows his fourth save and allows another homer in the process. Freems, 1-10. How bad are you freaking out about Josh Hader?
Well,
right now?
I mean, he's still has got the fastball. All right, the Brewers seem to be pretty confident that they could fix his location problems. All right, but I keep hearing this, time in time again. Hey, we got to get this fixed. Yeah, they do need that cut we just played from Hader Council. Yeah, they do need Hader. If they're gonna win a pennant, they're gonna need Hader to be rock solid. And games like this, they can't happen. These are crushing, deflating, awful losses. The other night, he blows the game against Texas, but then Thamesy hits the home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, and wins the game and saves them. And, the Hader blown save gets covered up a little bit. There was two games in Oakland that he blew, two costly games in Oakland. But, yeah. This is something that's got to fix, but the timely hitting has been a problem all season long with these guys. They were down 4-1 in this game, but I had written the game off at 4-1.
Yeah, me too.
They got down 4-1 and they blew a couple of scoring chances, and I was like, yeah, they're not winning this game. I was stunned, man. I was stunned that the Brewers came back and took the lead in that game, because usually what is the case with these guys, they get down and they're done. They're not scoring runs. They're not coming back in the game. And they can talk about, this never-say-die attitude that we have, which I hear every team say in baseball, no matter who they are, no matter what the season. But I didn't expect them to come back, and they did. They magically came back and with Grandal hitting the home run.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, you snatch a victory like that away from the Twins, who have everything going for them in that game, and you take a 5-4 lead. Man, to have Hader come right back and give it back in the eighth inning on just one pitch was brutal. That was brutal. Deflating. I mean, you could sense in that locker room, you could sense in the stands last night, how when Hader gave that home run, the air just came right out of Miller Park.
And it just seems like at some points of the season, the magic just isn't there. I'm not going to say it's a lost season, but it's just they're not going to rally. And you know that because they've only won one game this entire season when they trail going into the ninth inning. So it's just a terrible situation to be in. And you brought up the offense. So before Grandal hits that shot to give them the 5-4 lead, they were hitless in 20 mm-hmm. consecutive at-bats with runner in scoring position.
That's
they were
bad.
0-10 in the first six innings with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, how many times have they got to win a one-run game? Or they got to depend on Hader to close? Hader's had, the home run balls are a big part of it, but you look at some of those other numbers, pretty good. Pretty good number, 25 saves, damn good, man. You'll take that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Hader is not bad.
Let me ask you this question. How many closers, is there a closer you could think of in Major League Baseball that you would take over Josh Hader? I know Bart Winkler, who's not here, he's on assignment. He will be back here shortly. He's a big Craig Kimbrell guy. You not so much. You think the Cubs may have wasted some money.
Yeah.
Is there a closer that you could think of in baseball right now? Maybe Chapman with the Yankees.
I would say Chapman.
And that's about it, right?
Yeah. You know, the deal with closers is, and why I didn't want to give Kimbrel that money is because, and there's nobody who was going to give him $100 million.
No.
Over 5 years. There was nobody who was going to do that because what happens? In the guaranteed, in baseball, when it's guaranteed, you're on the hook for $100 million for a guy who's a middle reliever for you. Mm-hmm. If he can't close out games. And again, baseball's got a whole history of guys getting paid and becoming closers. And before you know it, boom. Hey, we saw Trevor Hoffman lose it here in Milwaukee. You know, one of the great Hall of Fame closer, Trevor Hoffman, lose it here in Milwaukee, where they had to take him out of the closer's role. Yeah, he was at toward the end of his career, and he was still a productive pitcher, but he was not the same Trevor Hoffman. These guys eventually lose it. We've seen guys come in here and put up all-star type seasons, the Turnbows, the Dan Kolbs, the Dan Plesecs, the John Axfords. They've all come through here and have limit. The shelf life for a closer is not very long, but we're not there with Hader. I just think he may have a little bit of a tired arm. Because he's racked up, he's about 3 weeks ahead of schedule, three, four weeks ahead of the schedule from the amount of innings he pitched this year and last year.
Do you think it's more, and that's what I was going to ask you, do you think it's more physical, maybe a dead arm situation,
could
or
be.
Do you think it's becoming more mental?
Well, I don't know.
Is it all in his psyche now? I mean, with the home run balls especially.
He's a pretty mentally tough guy. And here's what I do like about him. When he's blowing these games, and a big part of me is when... about a person is if you are an athlete or your coach and things go bad for you, you better be standing up there and taking it and answering questions and not cowering and sneaking out the back door and getting away. He was in front of his locker last night answering every question like a man. Things are going bad for him, but he's out the emergency exit. Josh Hader's nowhere to be found. No, he's standing up. And he's defending himself, and he's talking about his issues. So I like that. I mean that tells me something about Hader. Okay, that tells me something about a player, about an athlete. When you know things aren't going well, it's easy to stand up there when you're striking out everybody, and you're closing out games, and you're hitting 3-run home runs to win games, and you're on a tear. But go through a stretch, and you duck away, and you're a coward that way. That's another one. Hader hasn't been that. Hader, after every time the guy has been had some tough blown saves or a tough loss, he's been there to talk about it. And I think that says a little bit about the kid.
414-799-1250. How concerned are you with Josh Hader? We go to Twitter at 1057FM. The Fan D-Rock says 10. His fastball has slowed down. He can't hit his spot. Major League Baseball players can smash 94 down the field. And he talked about that a little bit last night. Because we're talking about Josh Hader needs to develop another pitch. But he says the fastball is his pitch. He's not going away from it.
Always used. And honestly, it really comes down to executing. You know, maybe I throw that pitch where I need it to be, up and in, and he pops it up. And, you know, maybe that's a different story. So, honestly, it's just, you know, comes down to executing, being consistent, and making my pitches.
So, okay, if... I see as many people on Twitter complaining that Hader has lost it and the confidence level is low in him. Where do you go from here then?
Right.
I mean, what's your solution then?
You don't really have any.
What's the solution?
Deadlines pass. You can't add another closer. You can't.
I mean, no. And you know, the closer, who are you going to add? Who are you going to add before this? Kimbrel?
That was really about
injured
it.
List?
Will Smith's name was out there, but the Giants didn't end up moving really anybody.
No. No, yeah. You know, Will Smith is having a good year, but we're not talking, you know, Will Smith isn't Raleigh Fingers.
Right, and you're not giving up prospects because they're probably asking for Keston Hira or somebody that you don't want to part ways with.
Yeah, no. And between Will Smith and Josh Hader, you would take Hader every single time. So when I hear that, well, they should have went and got Will Smith. No. No, it's just that some of these guys on this team, the bullpen has changed from year to year. Last year, the bullpen was great, and everybody was doing their job for the most part.
It was the strength, yeah.
And this year, the bullpen is a weakness. And the bullpen's changed. So look at the Cubs. Strope struggled, okay? Kimbrel has had a couple of moments.
Now Carl Edwards Jr., they traded.
Edwards, yeah.
They got rid of him. He's done.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that just pitched in Game 7 of the World Series 3 years ago.
But you look at some of the guys that they're running out there, and, you know, you think Joe Maddon wants to run out some of those guys in relief roles, some of these journeymen he's got out there?
No, Steve Cishek, I'm pretty sure he'd be fine. Never seen him again.
Yeah, but this is what – he's not the only manager, and Council's not the only manager faced with that. You know, a top-notch closer who's going to pitch 10, 15 years of solid baseball like Mariano Rivera did, those guys are hard to come by. That's why they're Hall of Famers. The shelf life of a closer is not, and again, we're not there with Hader just yet, although I know some Brewer fans think that's the case, but Hader's better days are not behind him yet.
Birdman tweets in at 105.7 FM. The Fan says he's a situational pitcher. Not having Corey or last year's JJ is showing that. Definitely not a closer.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of pressure was on Hader last year, and he delivered. I mean, look how many times that guy came through last year.
He also knew, though, that he had other guys in that bullpen that were to be relied on. Jeremy Jeffress was so good last year.
He did, but, you know, in no uncertain terms, a Hader shouldered the brunt of that bullpen last year, going long innings in middle relief. I mean, they really valued a guy. They valued him as a guy who could come out and get outs in the sixth and seventh innings and eventually turn it over to Knebel or turn it over to Jeffress, who is so good in the closer's role, except for the postseason last year. But you know, we've seen that Jeffress has probably lost it as a closer. They don't have any confidence in him closing out games. And Hader is the guy. But Hader, they are overusing him, but they've had no choice because there's not a lot of guys they can count on in that bullpen.
414-799-1250. We'll continue to talk Brewers with you. But Freems, I need to cheer you up a little bit because I was in a good mood heading into work today, and I want to keep it that way.
You were?
Let's talk some golf. Let's talk some golf.
I was in a horrible mood coming in today, man.
Well, you were at Miller Park until 1 a.m.
Well, I did. I left the ballpark last night, and I'm telling you, God, you had a full house there. You had a buzz there. You had a lot of Twins fans there. And to not come away at that victory last night after having the lead at home.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a tough one. I was laying in my bed. I'm reading Twitter and all that last night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting back, and I'm just like, I'm frustrated. Couldn't wait to get on the air today, but I woke up. I'm still frustrated, man, because you could have gained a game on the Cubs last night. You know, if you look at some of the games that Hader has blown over the last couple of weeks, you might be in first place.
Right.
Dating back to that series out in Oakland, you're in first place.
Oh, that's a four-game swing right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are costly games that are going to come back and bite you in September.
Yeah. Well, something that will always cheer you up is our golf outing. It's the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant and Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing to benefit Give Kids the World. It's coming up September 25th this year at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. Your chance to golf with the guys from the Fan, like Frames. He's probably the best golfer here at the station. I'm probably the worst, unless Bart is. Also, other local celebrities will be there. $125 for a great day of golfing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner from Perkins, Robert Specialty Meats, as well as Saz's. Get all the details. Sign up right now at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Frames, I was just looking at tickets, and they're pretty much selling out for this thing.
Now, what's the strengths and weaknesses of your game?
My strength, I could drive.
Okay.
My short game is awful. Short game? Always has been.
And
yeah,
when you say short game, like what
like,
would you?
I can't putt. Like literally anything off the tee, I'm
okay.
I'm pretty
but from
bad
like
at.
A 100 yards out, are you good at taking a divot? Are you like Bart? I tried telling Bart, I see you said you're not going to ever even be a decent golfer if you don't start taking a divot.
See, that's what I got to do too.
And he doesn't believe it. You got to be able to take a divot.
I got the same issues as Bart then.
You got to be able to take a divot. And I'm not talking to dig it before the ball, after the ball. You got to take that divot. And you don't want to be taking a chunk of grass before you hit that ball.
Well, that's what I do.
Well, it's the divot is after the ball.
Right.
And that's what I tried telling Bart. He said, "Well, you take the divot after the ball." Yes. But you can't be playing that way. You get in the rough and all that. You got to be able to take a divot. And that's where so many people struggle.
See, like Josh Hader or like some pitchers in the bullpen, it's all a mental thing for me. I go to the driving range and I'm awesome off the tee. I like to hit for power. That's my problem, though, is that then everything else, you know, growing up, we would just go to the driving range. We never really had money to actually play 18. Sometimes we played the back nine, try to sneak on the golf course. So I would always just go to the driving range and just hit balls. So that's always been my strength. In fact, up until I was like 16 years old, I only owned a driver, and it was because I stole it from my dad, and I never even had my own set of clubs. And then I got out of high school, hit college, and I went to college at Western Illinois in Macomb. There's absolutely nothing there. There's a Hardee's, there's a McDonald's, there's the college, there's a couple bars, and then there's two golf courses.
They play in the Summit League, I know that.
Yeah, so we would go golfing all the time, and I started disc golfing a little bit because it was really all there was to do, and that's when I got into it. And I was decent, but the problem was a lot of my buddies play year-round. Like, I have a buddy that just moved to Arizona. He's actually a golf pro, and that's what he does for a living. He just gives lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably good enough to play on the tour, but I mean, he makes so much money that why? Have
buddy
that
of mine,
frustration.
Buddy of mine gives golf lessons. Mike Vance, great, one of the great golf pros in the area, out at Moreland Road, and he gives golf lessons. And he's there. He's giving golf lessons like 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. and 20. I mean, that's all he's doing. I mean, but these golf pros, they love it.
Could you do that? Like, could you golf from 8 to 8, or would you get sick?
Oh yeah,
of it?
Yeah. I could never be a golf pro. I mean, I could, you know, golf pro, you have to, I mean, from what he knows and what I know about golf, and I'm a decent golfer, but could probably cover maybe a third of a matchbook cover. I mean, what he knows is he's got the whole thing covered. And these golf pros, man, they know their stuff. And they go to golf school. They know the golf game. That's what they do for a living. You know, we do sports radio for a living. And this golf outing is coming up in the 25th of September. $125 to get in. That's a great rate, man. To get into a golf outing, $125 at Western Lakes with what we feed and, you know, the kind of performance and the kind of day that we have. You'll golf with a celebrity. Man, I'm looking forward to it. Get in early before, with a $125 price, this thing is going to sell out quickly. We're already taking orders. This thing is starting to fill up. Get in today. Get in today. Harvey, how do people get in?
105.7 FM, The Fan. Go there right now, get full details, and sign yourself up because we're selling out fast. And you can learn a thing or two from Frames. Let's throw you a couple tips. Coming up, we're going to talk with Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports. We're going to talk some NFL football. That's at 7:30. But up next, are you concerned with Josh Hader? 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And this game now belongs to the Twins on the first pitch. Gonzalez, it's a 3-run homer.
Brian Anderson on the call. Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin as Josh Hader serves one up last night. Brewers lose 7-5 at home. Game one against the Twins. Game two coming up today. Gio Gonzalez on the mound. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's Chuck Freeman. Filling in for Bart Winkler, I'm Ryan Horvath, 414-799-1250. How concerned are you right now with Josh Hader and this Brewers bullpen just as a whole? Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports going to join us in about 5 minutes. We're going to talk some NFL football, but Freems.
I might be concerned with Twin fans invading Miller Park like Cub fans do.
Was it that bad last night?
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, because the Twins are playing well. You know, I mean, Twins. When the Twins aren't playing well, you don't see any Twin fans at Miller Park. But the fact that this series should be like in early June, late May. You know, the Brewers played out there Memorial Day and Memorial Day Tuesday. So, you know, the Tuesday after Memorial Day and Memorial Day night, people aren't on vacation. People are coming home from vacation or already home from vacation. But the fact that the Brewers are playing this series with Minnesota in the summertime, okay, months later, summertime where people have off, God, this is so much more easy. This is so easy for Twins fans from Minnesota or Western Wisconsin to come down to Miller Park. It's tough to go up the Target Field in May. First of all, you don't know if there's going to be a game or not because, you know, May in an open-air stadium, you could have rain at any second and have a game called off. I mean, they've had stretches where they've had 2, 3, 4 games in a row called off in April and May. So when the Brewers play up there, well, it's a 50-50 proposition every day whether or not there's going to be a game because they were stupid enough to not include a roof on their stadium. But now when here at Miller Park, there's going to be games all the time, and especially in the summer where these Twin fans have off and, you know, vacation time, they're coming down here, and, yeah, there were a lot of Twins fans.
Man, are they as annoying as the Cub fans?
No. No, I mean, Cubs are the rival. Twins are, those border battle, that's BS.
You don't care about that?
No, the Brewers have never been in the same division as the Twins. No, it's just, there's no rivalry there, except in Western Wisconsin where you have, you know, Brewers and Twin fans. But what it is they're coming here and they 44,000, it's driving up seats, it's driving up prices on tickets. You know, I know people who wanted to get tickets for last night's game, and they had to pay a little higher than they normally had to do on a Tuesday night because the Twins are here, and the Twins are, you know, the fans are driving up prices on the secondary market.
Yeah, and the Twins really needed that win as well because Cleveland was in Minnesota over the weekend. They took 3 of 4, and after having a huge lead in the division, Cleveland now has a one-game lead in that division. So the Twins, a little bit of choke artists themselves. And it's funny that we talk about their fan bases like that because I hate Vikings fans way more than I hate Bears fans.
Yeah, I don't know if the Twins aren't choking. They just went through a tough stretch. They're a good team. They're 24, 25 games, but they had to win.
You look at their record. They're a great team, right?
Yeah.
Because the National League's so bad.
They just went through a stretch where they had a tough series with Cleveland. All right, I mean, they're playing good ball. Cleveland's on fire. But, both of those teams are going to make the postseason. It's just a matter of who's going to win the division. I mean, those are two.
It's just crazy seeing those records in the American League and then looking at the NL Central, which we thought was going to be the best division in baseball, and there's just so much parity. But it's like, is there parity or these teams all just suck?
No, the Twins, the Indians are playing some good ball. The Indians are playing some good ball.
The 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th. It's Big Boy Fest. That's coming up Saturday, August 24th. Enjoy their version of the Big Boy double-decker hamburger, plus music, prizes, Big Boy trivia. For more info, go to Facebook, Milwaukee Remembers Big Boy, or you can give them a call at 414-281-8175. Give us a call at 414-799-1250 like Sean from Racine did. Sean, what's going on today, pal?
Hey, guys. I think the issues with Josh Hader, there's a few things going on. First of all, because it's been so dominant all his career, he's too reliant on his fastball, especially if he's going to be a possible full-time closer moving forward, which as of right now it looks like it. He has to work in other pitches like he started on in the last year or two, but obviously he's basically stuck with just his fastball this year. The other problem, I think, is because he's been moved to the closer role, you get more film on him, and guys expect on the other team for him to come in those closing situations, so they're studying more how to hit him. If he was just a middle relief and you never knew when he was going to get thrown in, there may not be as much of an emphasis placed upon watching how he pitches and how to hit off of him. But a closer, you need to try to get to know their tendencies, especially against teams you play a lot in your own division and league. So I think that's part of the thing. He needs to work in another pitch. And honestly, I would have preferred this whole year if they would have been able to get a different closer so that they can use him anytime they want, because then the other team, it's a guessing game.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody would have forecasted Jeffress coming into training camp and coming into the regular season not ready to play, not ready to pitch. He said he had a short off season for whatever reason. Jeffress, I like Jeremy. Jeremy's on the station. Got a good relationship with him. But him not carrying some of the burden of that bullpen has been costly for this team. Costly. And nobody thought, when Knebel goes down with the elbow injury before the season, no one forecasted that. You had three good guys you were going to come back with this year. If you have two of them succeed, you're still in a good position. But as of right now, for one reason or another, all three have had their moments. Knebel's never pitched. Jeffress has not been very good, and Hader's got problems with the long ball. He's been good, but he gives up too many home run pitches.
Thanks for the call, Sean. Coming up here in about 5 short minutes, we're going to talk with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. Talk some NFL football. Packers back in action. Preseason game number 2. The first team offense will play, including Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we'll take it. Right now, we're looking at about a quarter or so. Just kind of all dependent upon how we perform out there. But that's the plan going into it.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. He's Chuck Freeman filling in for Bart Winkler. I'm Ryan Horvath. That was Packers head coach Matt LaFleur Sounds like Aaron Rodgers will play the entire first quarter tomorrow night in the second preseason game in Baltimore against the Ravens. We'll talk more Brewers coming up in the 8 a.m. hour, but the Packers return to the field tomorrow night in Baltimore. They take on the Ravens. Matt LaFleur says yesterday we're going to see Rodgers. Right now we're going to talk with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, how you doing today, buddy?
Hi, Eric.
I'm doing great. What's going on, guys?
Eric, when you got a veteran quarterback like Rodgers, although you have a new coach coming in, and I think the ongoing debate is every year, how much playing time should Rodgers get? I mean, he's got a new offense he's got to adjust to, but in a game like tomorrow night, they say he's going to play a quarter. What's the theory mostly around football when you have a veteran quarterback and then maybe a new coach coming in on how much playing time a guy should get in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think almost across the board you're seeing less and less time for the starters, and especially the starting quarterbacks. I mean, I think a couple years ago, Sean McVay came in, and the first team offense, I think, got seven series in his first season, installing a new offense with a second-year quarterback who was unproven in Jared Goff. You know, and it was like, whoa. You know, and that's been a quiet trendsetter around the league. So, you know, obviously you'd like to get those guys some live reps and get them looks in a live game setting and all that, and just work on the communication, you know, radio in the calls and have everybody understand what's going to be happening on a real game day. But, you know, for Aaron and everybody else, I think it's almost like at this point, you'd rather not risk the injury, and you can get as many of those good reps you can in a joint practice with the Texans or some other setting like that. So, you know, that's I think, kind of the thinking behind it.
You know what the problem is, though? If he does not play the preseason and he comes out and struggles, fans are all over him, and the Packers, you know, they could care less. LaFleur could care less what fans think in regards to this. But, you know, the fans will be up like, hey, well, you should have got more time in the preseason so we got on the same page as LaFleur.
Yeah, and that happened here. I'm based in Chicago, or actually almost halfway between Green Bay and Chicago, but still, you know, there was a lot of talk about Trubisky last year, and oh my gosh, why didn't they get more reps in the preseason? This is ridiculous. And he came out early against Green Bay last year and had, you know, looked good. I mean, I know he leveled off at some point in that game once they got out of the, you know, the scripted plays, but I believe Aaron's a better quarterback, so I understand. I mean, if that's the first thing people are going to revert to, Aaron Rodgers didn't have a good night Thursday night against the Bears in the opener because he didn't play in the preseason, I might argue that, hey, the Bears are a good defense, there are other factors involved, that sort of thing. You know, obviously people are always going to find the root of the problem, even if it's maybe not the real answer.
Talking with Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's Chuck and Winkler. Eric, do you think this is a 2 to 3 year process for LaFleur or Rodgers, or should, you know, should pressure be on year one for them to win? I mean, Rodgers is a former MVP quarterback.
Yeah, I think they're going to win games this year. I really do. I mean, you know, there was a lot missing last year, and yet they were still competitive in some big games that they lost. And I just sort of felt like, you know, had two or three more plays gone their way here, or, you know, one big play on defense there, if the offense hadn't, you know, gotten so off track at one point, you know, they would have been in better shape. I think Rodgers is going to have a comeback season. You know, we're going to see Devontae at his best. We're going to see a better run game, I think. And defensively, I'm excited to see some of the young players. I think they have a chance to win the division. I have the chance, you know, as tough as the Vikings and Bears are, I think the Lions are an unknown. I still say Green Bay's got to be in that mix for first place in the NFC North.
What do you think Packers fans should be looking for on Thursday night with Rodgers taking his first snaps in the offense? You know, people want him to put points up on the board, but what are you looking for with a first-year head coach and a quarterback like Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, how many flare passes to the fullback they get? No, I'm kidding. I saw something on Twitter, people saying, why are they throwing a Dan Vitale at practice so much, that sort of thing. So, look, it's going to look different, right? I mean, the designs are completely different from what we saw with the McCarthy era and everything. So, you know, just sort of feel for who his primary targets are going to be, how many 4 and 5 wide receiver formations they use, how they operate with the tight ends and that sort of thing, pre-snap motion. You know, it's all going to be a lot of fresh looks in a lot of regards, so I think that's going to be the most exciting thing.
Yeah, I mean, you want these guys healthy coming out of training camp. Health has always been an issue with the Packers, but man, you think the Packers are going to be right there with the Bears? I got the Bears winning this division. You think Green Bay can catch Chicago?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I look at the Bears last year. Good football team, no question about it. Dominant defense, but one stat defensively that doesn't tend to translate year to year, and that has, you know, maybe the the most effect on games are turnovers. And they forced a ton of turnovers last year, and I just don't know if they can keep up that same level again. I would think that would be unrealistic to think. I mean, they could stop teams as consistently as they did in terms of allowing yards and third down conversions, things like that, but I don't think the turnovers will translate. They were also one of the most healthy teams in football last year. They also played one of the easiest schedules in football. I'm not a Bears hater. I'm just a realist. So really tough slate this year for Chicago. Look at the home games they have and a couple of tough road ones too. So, you know, that's going to, I think, bring their win total down. Minnesota's not going away, but I believe with Green Bay's improvement, I mean, right now I'm slightly leaning towards picking them in the North. You know, I probably changed my mind three or four times on the way to the, you know, September 1st, but I like their chances this year.
Talking with Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And Eric, while we talk about quarterbacks in the NFC North, a lot of talk going into the season about Kirk Cousins having a bounce back year and year. Well, this will be a new system for him, but it's year two in Minnesota. What are your thoughts on him as a starting quarterback in Minnesota? You think he could kind of get him over the hump?
Yeah, no one's really talking about Cousins, are they? I mean, last year obviously was such a fascinating situation. I mean, dropping him into a 13-3 team, and you know, how much better can they be? Well, you know, they took a step back offensively. They weren't as dominant defensively, and I think Kirk got probably. I mean, he was partially to blame. There's no doubt that he played pretty inconsistently at times, didn't have that confidence. He had two great wide receivers at his disposal, didn't always take best advantage of them. So, you know, that was the big concern. And can he be that guy who can let it rip but also avoid the turnovers and the mistake and the head-shaking plays that he seems to have every now and then? So I quietly think he has a decent shot to do that this year. Will he ever be a top-10 quarterback? I suspect no.
If Zimmer does not win in Minnesota, when I say win, I mean not only you win the division, or not even win the division, get to the postseason and win a game or two, is his job on the line going in?
It might be. There was some talk. I mean, I heard there was some real talk about whether he came back this season. And so I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get in his head. He doesn't let a lot of people into what he's actually thinking. But it did feel like there was a chance he wasn't going to be here for 2019. He ends up coming back. I think, you know, you'll see better football out of them. But you hear about their special teams issues in practice and, you know, trading for Kari Vedvik and not knowing whether he's a punter or a kicker, and they might keep, you know, him for both. And that scares me. For as many games as they've lost on missed kicks, special teams flubs, mistakes in that phase of the game. Yeah, you can be as dominant as you want, but one mistake in those areas will kill you. And so that's the one thing that kind of prevents me from kind of really liking them a little bit more.
Eric, I know you get to see the Bears a lot. What's your opinion of Mitch Trubisky heading into the season? A couple months ago, I heard a lot of dark horse MVP talk. A lot of people throwing down some money on Bavada, maybe for a future MVP. But what do you think? Is he going to make a big jump in that system year two under Nagy?
He'll never be an MVP, although I said that about, you know, Alex Smith. I said Alex Smith will never be an MVP candidate. And he, 2017, he played outstanding, you know, the first, what was it, 8, 9, 10 games of the season, to the point where if you didn't say Alex Smith was your MVP, you weren't watching football. But still, I doubt Mitch will ever be that guy who can be dominant and, you know, that we talk about in the same breath as an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Patrick Mahomes or anybody like that. He has good ability. I just don't know if he has that killer instinct that, you know, they're really trying to instill the touchdown to check down mentality. Because last year, you saw Mitch scramble a lot. He'd take off if his first or second read wasn't there. You saw him kind of dump the ball off and take his 6, 7 yards. And that's fine. That's not bad quarterbacking. But elite quarterbacking is knowing when to let it rip, I think, and also be able to do so consistently and get those big chunk plays and really sting defenses. He's had his moments. He's also had moments where he looks barely starter level or replacement level. So I think he'll be slightly improved. Allen Robinson should be great. I just don't know if he'll be a great quarterback ever.
We're talking with Eric Edholm. And, Eric, I know you're a busy man. We're going to let you go. But looking around the league real quick, Andrew Luck in danger now of missing week one for the Colts. They say he has a high ankle sprain. What are you hearing about that injury? It just seems like he finally got healthy. Finally, they got an offensive line to protect him. And now this again.
Yeah, no, it's a big concern. Obviously, I think they're not going to get shell-shocked the way they were 2 years ago. And, you know, they had the trade for Jacoby Brissett, and I think throw him out there, you know, in relief in week one against the Rams in a blowout and essentially make him their starter at that point. You know, now Brissett's been in the system. He's sort of marinated in this thing. He has the confidence of the defense. For as many sacks as he took as a starter, he also played competitive football. He showed that he can at least keep his team afloat. And this roster is wholly better. I mean, they're talking about having assets at wide receiver and corner and possibly even offensive line. I mean, 2 years ago, we were saying this might have been one of the worst rosters and that Andrew Luck was just barely keeping it afloat. So I love what they've done up there in terms of the roster. I really, really do. But, you know, the difference between Luck and Brissett might be two or three victories. And that's, you know, that could be the difference between 8-8 and 11-5. That's, you know, I hesitate to say they're going to be anything but good or decent if Luck isn't out there to start the year. And then we'll see what his health is after that.
Eric, thanks a lot, man. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
That was Eric Edholm. You could find his work at Yahoo Sports. Find him on Twitter at Eric Edholm. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right, a little road action for the Packers tomorrow. They go on the road. Rodgers will play the one quarter. And, again, just hopefully everybody stays healthy coming out of that game. Brian Gutekunst yesterday was talking about how, hey, this is these preseason games where some of these guys you just want to hold your breath. When he says hold your breath that, hey, you know, everybody checks out. They've already had one preferred player go down, and that was Oren Burks, who won't need pectoral surgery, but that's a big loss. That's already a big loss, one preseason game into the season.
Yeah, one game in, a guy that you were relying on to start and make a big jump in year two was Oren Burks, and I was excited to see him on the field. Now he's dealing with the injury, and you got guys like Ty Summers that are trying to steal that job from him. And Summers, what did he have, 10 tackles, 9 solo in week one preseason?
Yeah, but Burks was going to be the guy there. But you can't make the club if you're in the tub, they always say.
Coming up, it's a special version of Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything. Obviously, no Winks today, so I'll do his part. And then coming up at 8 a.m., we want to know from you what you want to see from the first-team offense and Aaron Rodgers in the preseason game number 2 in Baltimore tomorrow night. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. That's Chuck Freeman. Filling in for Bart Winkler, I'm Ryan Horvath. Give us a call, 414-799-1250. You can tweet at us, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook. And also check out anything that you missed today and every day over at the radio.com app. Nick Bode producing the show today. Special version now of Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything. Obviously, no Winks. He will return to us. I had the privilege of talking to Bart yesterday. He's just becoming used to the father life, the new dad life. And I think he's going to enjoy it because with the dad life, you get to sit on the couch more. Your diet changes a little bit, more fast food. So I think it's right up his alley.
Good. Well, I mean, speedy recovery to him as he's been, taking all of his time helping his wife, bringing the new kid. So speedy recovery for him.
Yeah, we hope to hear from him, too. I'm waiting for an update today, but we will eventually hear from him while he's on his little sabbatical as well. Bode, what's going down today?
All right, gentlemen. Well, that actually sets up our first question pretty nicely. Horvy and Chuck, you guys are both fathers, so what is your favorite part of the dad life? What do you think Bart might enjoy?
When the kid turns 18.
I knew that was coming.
18. 18 never sounded so good. How about that? How about that, Bode? 18?
I don't believe that, Chuck.
18, yes. I got 10 years left for my 8-year-old. 18, 10 years away.
Okay.
So I got he's on the payroll for another 10 years. Horvy, what about you?
I kind of like I don't enjoy sitting at the T-ball games because they're way too long. 120 minutes is way too long to watch kids attempt to hit off of a tee, but I do like teaching them about sports, going to watching sports on TV. Teaching them how to hit was pretty cool, and then learning how to play catch was cool. Because then you just go back to the memories of you and your dad.
There is nothing that bonds a father and son better than sports, man. There isn't. My 8-year-old loves it. You know, he plays soccer. Not a big fan of it, but if that's what he likes, that's what he likes. You know, he's a big soccer kid, so he loves it. But he loves going to games, likes collecting baseball cards, and you know, likes watching games on TV, going to games. So, so far, so good.
Yeah, I think the coolest part of being a father is just when your kid discovers things for the first time. Like over in July, we took him to Disneyland for the first time, and he rode on his first airplane. And just when they do things for the first time, you know, try a different ice cream, it's just kind of cool to see their reaction.
Yeah, I hate Disneyland. Go ahead. What do you got, Bodie, go ahead.
All right, well, Chuck.
I do. I hate Disneyland.
Yeah.
Don't
tell that to Sparky.
Don't let Steve Sparky Pfeiffer hear that. He won't have you on the Disney podcast.
Oh, that's fine. Nothing about Disneyland excites me, except for Epcot Center.
There's some good-looking women walking around Disneyland. They might excite you.
That's fine. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good. If I got to go to Disneyland, no, I'm fine. Go ahead. What do you got? What do you got, Bodie?
All right, boys. Up next, what is your remote drop movie, a.k.a. the one movie? If you're surfing through cable, you catch it on, you're dropping the remote, you're watching it till the end.
Hoosiers every time. When Hoosiers is on, I could be in the middle of watching most things. But if I'm flipping the channel and all of a sudden I got USA Network on and I see Hoosiers on, I'm always that and
Blue Chips.
Oh, Blue Chips. But I never see Blue Chips on TV, Horvy.
No.
That's another one, but I got the DVD. I love it. I love that. In fact, I may have to see that here in the next couple of weeks, man. Blue Chips. I love it. For me, it'd be Hoosiers. Blue Chips is up there, though. I love that post-game speech that he gives at the end of the movie, Nick Nolte.
Oh, yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
I like when he punts the basketball into the stands.
Oh, yeah. He gets a technical foul.
I was a big Penny Hardaway fan at the time, too.
I love the cameos in that show.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, it's awesome.
Mine would be The Departed, and I feel like it's on television every other day. That and Goodfellas. Like, Goodfellas is on every Saturday on AE, and I watch it.
You know, if this isn't a movie, but if The Sopranos are on, randomly or whatever, The Sopranos would be another one. League of Their Own.
Oh, classic.
League of Their Own. If the League of Their Own is on, I will always sit and watch it.
Anything There's no with Tom crying. Hanks. There's no crying in baseball.
And I'd say my all-time favorite movie, Dirty Dancing.
Really?
Oh, I love Dirty Dancing.
Nobody puts frames in the corner.
I love the movie Dirty Dancing.
I'm with you.
God, yeah.
I thought it was a good movie.
Dirty Dancing, yeah.
What was her name, the actress in that movie?
Jennifer Grey.
I loved her.
You know what? She got her nose fixed, and that was the worst thing she did for her career.
You kind of liked her with the busted
nose?
Well,
no, her career went right down because people loved her little look. You know, she was in that Matthew Broderick movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
She's Jeannie. She was the sister, right?
Yeah, she was the sister there. But, I mean, she played those roles, and people liked her. Then she got the nose fixed and thought she was going to take herself in the glamour roles, and it just wasn't happening.
Charlie Sheen also made an appearance in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I believe that's his first movie. Yeah, they're in detention, and he's
drugs.
Yeah, he's just sitting there.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
That's what the best part, if you go back and you watch 80s movies, is just like seeing a rare appearance for a guy, like their first cameo, like Johnny Depp in Nightmare on Elm Street, or you got Kevin Bacon. And
my favorite part about Goodfellas is that halfway through, Sam Jackson just pops up as Stax Edwards, the getaway driver, and you're like, God, this is a great movie. And you're like, oh my God, Sam Jackson.
Well, the best part about Goodfellas is if you're a Sopranos fan, like the entire cast is in every mafia.
And they're all playing the same roles.
Yeah.
They're all playing the same roles.
The biter is Christopher Moltisanti.
Nope, Michael Imperioli.
Christopher Moltisanti.
Oh, yeah.
On the show, on Sopranos.
Oh, character names.
We got any more in there?
No, boys, that would wrap it up for me.
Well, 414-799-1250, we're going to talk some more Brewers baseball a little bit later on in the program, but coming up, Aaron Rodgers and the first team offense, they're set to play tomorrow night, our entire first quarter. I want to know what you want to see from them. It's going to be the first time we see Aaron Rodgers in Matt LaFleur's system where he's not wearing just shoulder pads and a pair of shorts. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.